Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Powered by Kubota. For over 40 years, we've been making tomorrow matter. Shaping and building Australia together. This is Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy on Sydney's SEN 1170 AM.
Come on, come on, let's get together. You know we made a vow to leave one another ever.
Friday morning, welcome to Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy. Thanks to Bryden's Lawyers, unable to work due to injury or illness, contact Bryden's Lawyers. No Brandy. In fact, we'll try and get him on the phone line this morning because he will be on his way to Japan. Matt Russell in the co-host chair. Matty just coming out of his trailer as we speak, just getting the nails and the feet done before the start of the show, the hair. Welcome to all of you listening right now on SEN 1170 AM in Sydney and our listeners tuning in on the SEN app. Let us know where you're listening from this morning. Just a shout out, just a chat. Let's do it. Great Southern Bank Open Line is open for you, 1300 01 1170. But I think there'll be more than just shout outs this morning. There's a few burning issues to discuss, and I barely know where to start. Matty Russell, do we go with kickoffs? Do we go with the actual form, the Rabbitohs defence? What happened there? Are the Roosters the real deal suddenly? Are the Warriors not quite where we had them? All of these storylines out of the NRL yesterday, and the AFL has opened up the golden point debate. Oh, well, it's all happening, Matty.
Good morning, Andrew. Good morning. What about the last tackle when it came to rugby league on Anzac Day? Tane Milne, what was he thinking? There's a topic to talk about this morning. Oh. That was an ugly, ugly tackle. Well,
okay, let's go there. How long should he get? There will be people tuned in now that would have tuned off before what was literally the last seconds of the match, Matty. Take us through the incident. So
Cam Munster standing in a tackle, multiple players around him, game dead and buried. We're just heading towards full-time and handing out the Anzac medal and going to bed. And Tane Milne, just javelin-like, dives in at the lower legs, somewhere around knee, ankle, shin area of Cam Munster in a wicked tackle that looked horrible. And thankfully, even though I think he was shocked and a little bit sore, no serious injury to Cam Munster, but it could have been syndesmosis, could have been knee, could have been fractured tib or fib. Had that happened, it's 12 weeks plus. As it is, maybe four. I don't know. But,
I'd go more. I'd just Tane Milne, I tweeted out last night on X that, sarcastically, of course, that he just must have realised he had a holiday booked overseas. And he thought, I better get sent off. And the referee did, even though there was almost zero left on the clock, he still got sin bin. But that offence was so blatant. You can say, that's just out of the blue. Well, it's not actually with Tane Milne. If you go over his record, he has this a few years back there, last game of the season, cost him a World Cup. He got done for 6 weeks just for idiotic sprinting in, doing things. I'd still go. I don't think there had to be injury. I think every player in the game would support a tough penalty on this one because it was so irresponsible.
It was just so
dangerous.
It was inexplicable, and I know what you are saying, that injury shouldn't come into it, but it does, and it will. And because Cam Munster seemingly is A-OK, then it will be on the lighter end of anything that he could have copped. He took a huge risk there. Big picture, Andrew, 36 tries scored yesterday, and I was thinking this morning driving up, only a couple of weeks ago, listening to Graeme Annesley's weekly football briefing, he was saying how close and exciting the games are. Well, through our eyes, they're still exciting, but they all of a sudden haven't been so close for a couple of rounds. We saw those blowout games last round, and then yesterday, 36 tries and 50 points scored in consecutive games. I think Dan Ganane said in commentary last night, it's the first time in 10 years we've had 50 points accrued by a winning team on the same day.
Just on South Sydney. Okay, let's get on to South Sydney defence. South Sydney fans, talk to us. Get on the text 0457 736 736. The tally now of points conceded coming off a bye, and there was some really strong commentary on Fox League in the post-match last night. Both Michael Ennis and Brandy went on the attack. They've now conceded 250 points for the season. That's horrible. On the back of everything going wrong from round 12 last year, that was the turning point game where they conceded 36 against Parramatta and then barely conceded under 25 or 26 a game for the rest of the season. But Michael Ennis just said that, you know, he pointed out chronologically, you know, everyone's under pressure at the club, but you had the bye. You know, you had 2 weeks to almost do a reset, reboot. It's Anzac Day. You know, like, you don't need to get pumped up. It's so special. You know, adrenaline pumping, everything going for them. South Sydney come out on Anzac Day and concede 54. It is an embarrassment. It's, you know, I know Jason Demetriou said world-class opposition and all of that, but South Sydney had some world-class players as well. I mean, the defensive issues of South Sydney, I said it looked real to me right from round one and round two, and they'd conceded 11 tries across round two. They aren't coming back. Brandy had them as a bottom two or three side. That all happened post-match last night. And do you sit back and cop it? Like, you've had a David Fernandy coaching staff, all these things, Matty. I think, they're gone.
Yeah.
The Rabbitohs are gone.
They are. And you know, they conceded 10 tries last night. What will really pain South Sydney fans are the patches they showed last night. Those repeat sets which led to the try in the first half. In the second half, they scored 3 tries in 9 minutes. At one point, you thought, oh, hang on. Against the odds, could they do something here? No sooner had you started to think maybe we're in for a closer game than all of a sudden Melbourne kicked again. And the summary out of that game, Andrew, is that when Melbourne wanted to put the accelerator down, when they needed to score points, it seemed like they did so with embarrassing ease. And no matter how good Souths were in patches, they were beaten 54-20 by a team that, when it needed to, scored at will. So what happens now? The coach had that game to save his career. They didn't win the game, but they showed some ticker. They went into a bye, and the limelight went away from them. What happens following this
game? Well, they play Penrith. That's what does happen next. The immediate future is they play Penrith next. They're now conceding 37 points a game on average. 37. Let that number sink in. Souths fans, talk to us this morning. What should happen next? I mean, and here's the sad thing. I don't know. Look, I could do anything, really, but I don't think defensive issues, you don't turn around during the season. I don't believe. I don't think you can turn. You can't turn around something that has been there and blatantly apparent since round 12 last year. It hasn't just emerged this season. It started from round 12 last year. They are now in a worse position. They're not going to win. The South Sydney side, we said, well, I can still score 30 points, but, you know, well now I'd that's not enough when you're conceding 37 a game.
I want to hear from Edgewater on the Edgewater Homes text line from South Sydney fans, 0457 736 736. We had one earlier on from someone who is obviously a Melbourne Storm fan, 087. From Queenslander to the end, great work from the Storm last night. They look as much a premiership threat as they have been for a few years. As a diehard Queensland supporter, I'm going to be happy to see Melbourne deliver that sort of form in the Origin arena. And you go back to last night, Andrew. Hughes on the right, Munster on the left, the spine outstanding, Coates awesome before he was injured, and Cam Munster, 4 try assists and a try. Late start to the season, boy, he's back. He's back.
Pappenhausen, very good. It's great when the big four combine, and there were many times last night where it was Grant, Hughes, Munster, Pappenhausen. They're great players to watch. Now, we have a problem with kickoff returns. I saw it the other week. I've called a couple of games lately. Sam McIntyre for the Cowboys, the middleman, 3. It's just, it's more likely to happen than not happen that there's going to go something's going to go wrong. Kickoff carry, man running bolt upright at high velocity, has three defenders coming at him. There is no target area really other than I'm staying bolt upright. No one's taking him around the hips. Everyone goes in high. And the middle player, you can almost do a split screen. Sam McIntyre for the Cowboys and what happened yesterday with Moses Early. The middle defender has no target, nowhere to go, no control of his arms. Like he's just wedged in there. And head collision, he gets bumped, he's off balance, he's just a sitting duck. And Moses Suli is knocked out yesterday. What are we going to do about it, Matty?
We're not going to ban.
What can we do?
We're not going to ban the long kickoff, are we? Are we going to, as Paul Kent pointed out on NRL 360, make people change their tackling techniques somehow? Does that solve the problem? Are there greater experts than me that will say, no, you've got to ban the long kickoff? Oh, I would hate to see that happen. It's a part of the game that I love. And what about the theatre yesterday with Jared Waria-Hargreaves returning those kickoffs? The old bull, fearless on Anzac Day, inspired by a game that he holds so dear to his heart. It was one of the fantastic elements of that game yesterday. I could hear you excited in commentary, and I was sitting on the front of the lounge watching it, wanting to see Jared take another carry. I knew as I was watching it and I saw Suli go off that the debate regarding long kickoffs was going to rage all week. We won't have a say in it. It'll be the medicos. The medicos will have the say in it. They will say to the game, no, we need to make a change here given concussions, given the way the game is going. We don't get a say in it. It'll be, unfortunately or fortunately, whatever stance you want to take, the doctors who decide whether we have the long kickoff in the game going forward. Do you agree?
The first point has to be I think back to last year's Origin series. I even think back to the start of last year's grand final that it was a little timid. Now I know that sounds a little odd, but I reckon the coaches control this. They can pull back. The first tackle doesn't need to be as ferocious. Second and third can be when they're suddenly running from 10 metres, but the first one doesn't have to be. And I reckon they pulled it back in Origin last year as a result of the previous season. Remember, there were three players knocked out inside the first couple of minutes.
Yep. Like carnage.
It was Cameron Murray, was it Lindsay Collins and all of that? Because it can be carnage. It's just these kamikaze hit-ups. And I reckon they pulled back in Origin because they said, boys, we can't have that. Like the coach said, just pull back. Let's make our tackle rather than the big collision. We'll put our imprimatur on the next few tackles to set the speed. And I reckon last year's grand final was the same. I reckon the two coaches thought about it. Now, I think the coaches do have a say in this. I think they can say, no, boys, you've got to sort it out amongst yourselves. You're sprinting down there. It's your job. Yesterday, Moses Suli and Jaden, so it's your job with the first carry.
Yes.
We're not sending three in. Mm. It is the three in. You're still going to have the injuries, but three ins, there's no control over the tackle. There's no target. There's nowhere to it when three blokes are all going up high.
To me, watching
it, just doesn't work.
There were four blokes involved in that tackle. Waria Hargreaves, the ball carrier, three defending Dragons. There were four individuals who were swept up in the occasion, who'd absolutely loved the pre-game ceremony, who knew they were playing in front of a sold-out house. Anzac Day, let's rip in, let's just throw ourselves into this. And the result was Moses Suli threw himself in and then got dragged out for the rest of the game after 60 seconds.
There's no technique when three people are going in all upright, all in the same position. But let's hear your solution. Let's hear your solution this morning to deal with this. If we had to do something this week, what would we do? Or do we just stay as it is? 1-300-01-1170 or text 0457-736-736. Get inventive. Come up with something else if you can. We want to hear about it. The form of the Warriors, very quickly.
Yeah.
Is it a slump? What are they reading their own press? Is there something doing them? And yesterday again started really well. They've done that a few games this year. And
bang. Andrew, I jumped on X because I thought last night, yesterday afternoon, watching that game, I've seen this before. And sure enough, the Warriors' four losses this year, they led Cronulla 12-0, they led Melbourne 26-18, they led St George Illawarra 6-0 early, they led Gold Coast 12-0. And I said that in all their losses this season, the Warriors have led normally early and often seemingly very easily. And then to me, it seems like they think, well, yes, we are a good footy team. We keep getting told we're a good footy team. We've established the lead. We can just coast or cruise from here, go through the motions. Well, no. There are four losses now in the rearview mirror after what's teasing your fans by starting so well in games. Even if they get two of those four losses, it's a different position on the ladder. So they are a good team. I'm not willing to say that they're not going to be top four and premiership hopefuls back into the year, but they need to apply themselves, shoulder to the wheel for the whole 80 minutes, boys. Is that too simplistic a take?
Yes, and we have plenty of Warriors fans from across the ditch that are tuned in to breakfast, so let's hear from you as well. What's your advice to the AFL? AFL fans, have you say today? Golden point? Do you want golden point? It's just a simple yes or no, really. And how would it work? I mean, what's the time period? It's not just yes or no. So if you say yes, then you have to decide. Do you want fixed period where you play for, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, I don't know how many more minutes they want to tack on, or do you play the actual golden point? Like in AFL, you know, it could be a very messy behind. It could be
a golden point or golden goal. The trouble with
a golden goal, yeah, that's right. But they do have the option, so they have to work out then how they'd want it to work. What's your do you have a thought on it, mate?
Well, should they just go with a draw? Given that NRL, no, I'd like them to play on. I'd like to get a result in the modern game. Now, the AFL purists will want my head on a stick. That's fine. But, Andrew, when it comes to golden goal or golden try, as I've been thinking about in recent weeks, what happens if the team kicks, in AFL's case, 7 behinds, leads by 7, so that doesn't finish, not golden point, and then the team kicks a goal, they're actually behind on the scoreboard, but they've been first to kick the golden goal. Same in rugby league.
I have the solution.
You kick three penalties, you lead by 6, but the other team scores the golden try.
Yes.
How does it work?
No, I do have the solution.
What is it?
I thought about that, Matt, before when it's been put up before. Well, I think it's first to 4. So a try wins it automatically, or if you kick 2 penalty goals, or if you kick a 2-point field goals, or 2 ones and a 2. I think if you 4 is the minimum that in golden point. So if you get 4 in front, therefore golden try wins it.
Yes,
a golden try wins it, or 4 in front. I think, and in AFL it would be goal wins it, or if you get 6 in front.
Yeah.
I think that would be written in. That would be. But anyway, AFL fans, you're more invested, let's be honest, you're more invested in the game than Andrew Voss or Matt Russell, because we live in this rugby league bubble. What do you want? Do you want golden point? My advice to you is, yeah, go for it. Add it in.
Yeah.
Add another strand of controversy and, you know, umpires putting away the whistle in golden point. You'd love it. You'd love golden point. Go for it.
Thousands of people at the MCG yesterday, as they left, would they have liked to have an extra period to try and decide this game?
Yeah, go for it, guys. Go for it. All right. This is the place to talk sport on a Friday morning. So much happened yesterday. We've got a whole lot of grabs to run. We'll run the thoughts of Trent Robinson, Shane Flanagan in a moment. Flano was in pretty good form for a bloke who'd lost by 50, looking ahead to the derby with the Sharks. We've got all that still to come right here on Breakfast with Vossie and Matt Russell. And who are we here for, Matty?
Bryden's lawyers. Bryden's lawyers. If you've got any reason to have legal concerns, your first stop, Andrew, Bryden's lawyers.
Their phone number is 1-800-848-848.